Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mr. Mitchell by Raylan Marks, narrated by Sarah Puckett and Aidan Snow. Introduction. Avery. I was going to miss my flight if this stupid Uber driver didn't step on it. What the fuck, man? I looked over at him, driving with great concentration. Hey, buddy, I started as nicely as I could. I am going to miss my flight. Can we go a little faster?
I'm going as fast as Chester can take us,
he answered while petting his dash. Chester? I questioned as he continued down side streets that I only prayed he was being directed through because his GPS had a quicker way to get us to LAX.
The name of this little guy,
he exclaimed about his tiny microcar. Ah, I answered. Well, is Chester by chance small enough to fit down the back alleys of this neighborhood we're in?
Chester doesn't do illegal,
the middle-aged man smiled. Of all the Ubers I could have gotten, it's a guy who named his car Chester that will prevent me from my much-needed week-long escape to London with my foster sister.
Here,
he said softly, turning to the right.
We are,
he stated nice and calmly.
You enjoy the flight, Avery. Keep the tip. Chester could have done better and gotten you here earlier. He doesn't deserve the good gas.
I looked at the man and forced a smile. You're a wacko. I've got your tip. He stopped me from reaching into my purse.
No,
he frowned.
You were too stressed. Chester and I would rather have a good review.
Got it, I said, grabbing my carry-on and taking off, never looking back at that crazy scene again. I never thought I'd be sitting here, air blowing on my face and engines running on the plane. I closed my eyes, sitting in serenity, only to have my neighbor, a 2-year-old kid, poke my nose. I was never going to survive this 10-hour nonstop flight to Europe. Ignore him and he'll stop, I thought, knowing this was not the solution. Trust me, I knew my 3-year-old daughter would only take it as a greater challenge. Excuse me, ma'am? My eyes snapped open to see a flight attendant on my left. We have an opportunity for you to upgrade to first class if you'd like to take it. Oh, I said, knowing my wealthy sister had booked the flight on her mileage rewards and I just hit the lottery. I'd love to. She escorted me up to where passengers were seated with more room and luxury. Right here, she directed me to the seat where a businessman sat, staring at his phone. He glanced up, and brilliant green eyes framed by dark lashes met mine, throwing me completely off.
Good Lord, I'd never seen a man this handsome before in my life.
Guys who looked like this modeled Gucci suits and lived on the covers of magazines for women to drool over. Now I was being seated next to this handsome man on a nonstop flight from LA to London? Talk about a first-class upgrade. Maybe I died from carbon monoxide poisoning when I was driving in Chester. He smiled, stood, and allowed me into my seat next to the window. So, this was awesome. Now I was afraid I'd have to go to the bathroom the entire flight, constantly disturbing Mr. Sexy in a suit, because he was too tall to shift his legs for me to get through. We'll serve drinks once we're in the air, the flight attendant said. Anything you need, we'll ensure you're taken care of. Enjoy your flight, Miss Gilbert. Thanks, I said. My phone rang and it was my sister. God love her.
What?
Do they instantly send you notification that I accepted the first-class seating on your behalf? I snickered. Hey, Brittany said. Your dickbag ex is giving mom shit right now. What? I asked. I don't have time for his bullshit. Period. You need to call him. I just left the house. I'll be landing after you, but the hotel suite is ready for us in London. Fine, I sighed and hung up. Please turn off all electronic devices. Fuck, I whispered. Okay, breathe. I dialed out anyway.
Sup?
Derek answered. Listen, asshole, I growled into the phone. Your parents aren't getting Addison until after I get home.
You should have thought this through,
he growled. I thought it all through, dick. I tried to keep my voice down. Swear to God, this drug addict brought out the worst in me, and now I was going to get kicked out of first class by Mr. Sexy himself. My mom is staying at my place with her. You need to figure out your new drug charges before I let you anywhere around her again.
Avery, he said in his manipulative voice.
Don't Avery me, Derek. Your kid or not, Addison stays with Jill. Got me? I don't trust your enabling parents, and I don't trust you. Please, God, don't do this to me.
I'll do whatever I fucking want.
I'm getting a lawyer.
You can't afford a lawyer,
he sneered.
So what's next, Avery?
A tapping to my right arm brought my angered expression to the man sitting at my right with a smirk. He rose his eyebrows and mouthed,
I can handle this if you'd like.
I looked at him in confusion. I couldn't take off and leave Addison, my foster mom Jill, or my mind in this state. Derek could screw me over hard in the week I was gone. I had no other option. Either trust the man dressed like a lawyer sitting next to me to bail me out, or get off the plane. My life only led to option two, so I decided to go for it with this guy. I handed him my phone. His hands were even beautiful.
Excuse me, Derek,
he said in a commanding, confident, and supreme voice.
Yes.
He paused, people staring at us while the plane started backing out.
I understand how you'd feel that way, yes.
I looked at the man as he frowned.
Are you done? Good. Now, all of this has been recorded for my team and me. We will keep this while we continue to look into the custody and your sanity as the father of Addison. Now, I'll advise you to heed.
He looked at me and mouthed,
Your name?
Avery, I said with a smile, knowing Derek, the low-life drug addict, was shitting his pants on the other end of the phone.
You will regard Avery's request and Jill watching over the child. If I learn that this has turned out to be more upon mine and Avery's return from London.
He gave me a thumbs up as if asking, You are going there, right? And I nodded.
Then you and I will be in court.
He paused while I heard Derek kissing his ass.
That's fine. I would assume you would believe that. So we're clear. If there is so much as one phone call toward Addison, or excuse me, Avery, while she is away, then understand this will get extremely ugly.
The gorgeous man who bullshitted my psycho ex handed me my phone.
Your friend hung up on me.
He smirked.
I believe he got the message, though.
I can't thank you enough for that, I said, my eyes captured by his, and his smile instantly made me grin like a girl, crushing on a Hollywood star.
Not a problem. I couldn't help but overhear you talking to him. A drug addict?
Yeah. Long story. I sighed. And now I'm stuck with him because I was stupid enough to get knocked up by him.
I believe it takes two to make that decision. I wouldn't carry the blame alone if I were you.
He smiled.
You appear to be a good mom. I'm sorry if I was overstepping boundaries, being a stranger and all, but I do hope it helped.
I'm Avery, I said with a smile.
I'm Jim.
He extended his hand out toward me.
I guess we're no longer strangers then.
Easy as that. God, I wanted to join the Mile High Club with this guy. But we just became friends over me telling him that I made the mistake of screwing a drug addict and got pregnant with his kid. I mean, that was 3 years ago, but still. I highly doubted this guy would stoop to anyone less than a socialite, much less some random chick who got upgraded to first class that was drooling over him. Who knew? Free drinks were in first class, and he just ordered two for us. Please, God, don't let me start my trip off to London by screwing some guy while I was drunk on an airplane. I've done crazier shit, yes, but This trip was meant to be fun. But I suppose a girl could have fun, especially with a man like this dreamboat sitting next to her.
Chapter 1. Jim. I sat in my office going over the last of my emails from this long yet productive day at our London headquarters. My meetings with our associates and one new investor were finally over. The only shitty part of this day was that Alex and I couldn't come to an agreement and sign with a new business we flew out here to acquire. We could have offered them $1 million as a promise to his company's future success, and he still wouldn't have taken the deal. We still had another week and more time. We would get the deal. I wouldn't sit here all night and worry over today's events. I learned a long time ago that I was running this business, that I'd inherited from my father. This machine wasn't running me. That's what I always told myself, anyway. I weaved my pen through my fingers, reading the last of the man's prerequisites on his term sheet for Mitchell and Associates. This guy was a stubborn ass. I had to get together with Alex so we could find a way to close this deal. Our London employees had families, too. They had to eat. All of that rested on my shoulders with every transaction we did. A highlight of this particular trip to London was that my brother was here to bring more insight to our new program on behalf of St. John's Hospital. Thank God he was not only a world-renowned heart surgeon, but Jacob was also a man who could charm a room full of snakes if need be. Jake was a genius with his words, and sometimes I wished he would have taken on the family business with me after Dad died. Then again, this was me at the end of a long-ass day thinking selfishly. The world needed more heart surgeons like my brother and probably fewer corporate dicks like myself. Jake had successfully pleased every investor in the room with his presentation to start up an online university, performing live surgeries and instructing students while doing so. With this first part of our plan moving forward, Jake was on track to have a new innovative way of bringing medical students and interns from the UK into his surgical room, looking over his shoulders while his brains and hands went to work on his patients for heart transplants. The Heart Institute was finally getting past the permits phase with the city, and once that was operational, Jake would be able to bring in more interns to work under the finest doctors who were ready to come to us.
Mr. Mitchell,
my assistant called over the intercom. Yes, Becky, I answered, pressing the button on my desk phone.
I'm leaving for the day. Before I go, I just wanted to let you know that Adam is a bit concerned about today's staff meeting.
Excuse me, I said, picking up the receiver. What did he have to say?
Well, you walked out of the room with a frown on your face during the acquisition questioning for Middle Group.
I rubbed my forehead and sighed. I'll make sure to have another staff meeting with the acquisitions team tomorrow before I take off to work remotely. Have a good evening, and I'll see you on the next visit.
Thanks, Mr. Mitchell. I look forward to it. Cheers.
Shit. Every expression that crossed my face was analyzed, even as I did mundane things like walk to my office. If I smiled, then someone took offense to that and found a way to link that expression to me having to fire someone. If I frown, everyone thinks they are going to hell, and they're going to be out of the job the next day. I'd dealt with plenty of that shit and had to quell rumors before they burned the place down. This didn't just happen at our London headquarters, it occurred in the Los Angeles one as well. It was all part of the lovely job of being a CEO. I picked up my cell and dialed out to the company's president and my best friend, Alex. Hey! Alex answered, already at our usual dining joint. Is your sorry ass still at the office? Yeah, I answered. Adam in Acquisitions is concerned over a goddamn look I had on my face when I left the meeting this afternoon. I was taking off for the estate so I could work from there. I thought it would be nice to have some sort of reprieve after 3 days of living in this hotel and office. It looks like we're in early tomorrow for a 6 o'clock meeting. Good God, man, Alex responded. Jake is taking off, and his flight is in an hour. I'll let him know. You want me to send out the message to the team about the meeting? I'll handle it. My laptop is open. All right. Are you showing up tonight, or are we closing out the tab early? I'll swing by for a bite and a drink. I'm sure the ladies are already entertaining enough for you. Right,
Alex laughed. Handle your shit and we'll see you in a few. After sending out a quick meeting invite to the team to correct any insecurities over my expression in the meeting today, I shut the laptop. I was not going to leave for the estate with anyone in our London office feeling uneasy, so hopefully the meeting would do the trick. I put the laptop in my briefcase and a dark shadow appeared at the entrance of my door. I glanced up. Jules? I questioned the knockout brunette I usually hooked up with when I came to London. What the hell? I smiled, and before I could walk over to her, she rushed to me. My face was in her hands, and her lip gloss was choking me as she impulsively kissed me. She took my hand and walked me to my leather sofa, which was positioned under the windows to give a sweeping view of London at night. Jesus, I chuckled. Slow the hell down.
It's been too long, she said,
playfully pushing me to sit on the couch so she could straddle me. Oddly, I wasn't in the mood for her, or this, for some reason. She loosened my tie and I spotted a diamond ring on her finger. I pulled her hands down from where they fidgeted with my shirt. What's this? I asked, holding up the evidence that she was obviously a married woman, unlike the last time I saw her a few months ago.
Right now? She arched her eyebrow over her hazel eyes. It's nothing.
The hell it isn't, I said. When did you settle down, and who's the lucky man?
It could have been you, you know, she said as she gripped my shoulders and began massaging herself against my dick that was now hardening since it had a mind separate from my own. But someone can't commit.
Someone, I tried to control myself, has a business to run. I couldn't have made you happy if I tried. She licked her lips, slowly getting herself off on my hard cock.
You'll always make me happy, just like this, she said, biting her lip.
I gripped her hips, stopping her from making my dick take over my reason. Hold on, I said, her eyes meeting mine in some daring and rebellious way. You got married. You get what that means, right?
Yes, she said, rocking her hips against my lack of self-control. It means you won't fuck me. If it helps, I didn't marry for love. It was definitely for his wealth, so it's not a real marriage.
The fuck it isn't, I said. I laughed in response, losing all sexual desire in that moment. Glad to know the daughter of one of my wealthiest investors went out and married for fucking money.
You expect me to marry a coal miner? I have a lifestyle that I need to maintain. Don't get self-righteous on me. Men and women have been doing it for centuries, so I'm not apologizing for anything.
Her breath was ragged, eyes glossy, and lips on mine again.
Fuck. I'm going to come, Jesus
Christ. I stood up, leaving Jules on the couch and seeing a wet spot on my crotch. Is this a goddamn joke? I looked at her, disgusted with myself for letting her ride me like she did. Things are over between me and you. You've lost your mind, marrying for money and now getting yourself off on me like that? Fuck. I was in a wretched mood after this day. Would it have been nice to go back with Jules to her hotel room and fuck it all out of my system? Yes, that's why we had this particular relationship. We both fucked for our own selfish needs, but this, no. I felt like a sick, dirty bastard now.
I miss you, Jimmy, she whined with a sultry smile, showing me that she wasn't wearing any panties beneath her skirt. I have a room at our favorite hotel. I left your name at the front desk. Go out with the guys and I'll be waiting for you if you somehow get out of this shitty mood you're in.
Shitty mood? I said with disbelief. You're the one who got married. I'm not fucking a married woman, period. You ended our hotel nights together, so enjoy your room alone, and congratulations on the nuptials. She rose and kissed me on my cheek.
I'll be waiting for you.
Very well. Anything to get her the fuck out of my office. The very last thing I needed, especially after my brother's docu-series had thrown the media into our private lives, was this woman who married for money in my life. I didn't need her husband. Shit, who did she marry? If it was someone who came from money and power, chances were I knew him. He was probably one of our investors. Jesus, I had to get her and myself the hell out of this dangerous situation. Once Julia's driver took her away, I had my driver take me to Delia's. Thanks to Julia,
I had to change into one of the spare suits I kept in the office. The suit was reserved for incidents like accidentally spilling soup down the front of my shirt or having coffee spilled on me, or when a stark raving mad married woman climaxed on my lap, things like that. Once that debacle was behind me, I was at Delia's and walking to our usual table in the corner where the guys were. I sat at the table, grateful the waiter was already bringing my usual drink, the bourbon I desperately needed to help put the events of tonight behind me. "Still pissed that you have to hold the impromptu meeting tomorrow?" Alex chuckled, running his hand over his smoothed back, dark blonde hair. "When are you going to cut that mop off your head?" I asked, noting the new style he was sporting. "Yeah, you're still in a pissy mood." He took a sip of his scotch. I pulled my bourbon to my lips after ordering swordfish and steamed vegetables, suddenly starved by the aroma of food filling the room. "Remember Julia?" I asked, eyeing him and Colin, my brother's closest friend. Truth be told, all four of us had been close since college. "Julia Dunlap?" Colin asked. "Yeah," I said, nodding toward the waitress in gratitude for my freshly poured water. "She stopped by tonight." "Then why the hell are you so irritated?" Alex chuckled. "Did Jules break the cardinal rule of you not fucking chicks in your office?" "Fuck off," I snapped. "No, she got married recently, and then she tried to break the cardinal rule." I half smiled at how stupid I sounded with my mandate that I would never have sex in my office. To do so seemed tacky on all levels, though, in my personal opinion. "Married?" Colin practically choked on his gin. I took another sip, letting the warmth of the bourbon calm my nerves after sliding down the back of my throat. "She tried to act as though nothing had changed. Probably because you're the best fuck she ever had." "Funny, Alex," I sighed. "She actually admitted that she married for money, of all damn things." "So he cries into his bourbon because he can't fuck a married woman," Colin remarked sarcastically. "Despite what the media blasted about my brother and me, one thing is certain, we never fucked married women." "It's almost like a curse," Colin snickered. "A billionaire homewrecker? That shit would definitely swing the media back your way again." "No shit," I answered while glancing around the room. Holy hell, I thought when my eyes caught the bright blue eyes of the girl with pitch black hair who was on my flight from Los Angeles. Avery had a nutcase of an ex-husband on her hands, but after she loosened up on the plane, I fell under some crazy hypnotism she worked with those eyes and the stunning sharp features of her face. I would be lying if I said she didn't stick with me, and I wish I'd taken her up on her offer to have sex on the plane. She was only teasing, but I'd fantasized about it more times than I wanted to admit since I'd been in London. Now here she sat by herself in one of the most lavish restaurants around, and one that was not easy to get access to, especially for the type of woman she led me to believe she was, a single mom getting away from her shitty life with a paid vacation by her foster sister. "Jimmy," Alex snapped his fingers at me as I stared at the woman. "Are you checking her out too?" I looked back at the table as my plate was being placed in front of me. "Okay, I guess tonight is a game of memory for the three of us, and I'm the one asking the questions." "Don't tell me you know who she is," Colin said. "Remember me mentioning that on the flight out here I ran interference for a chick with some douche ex-fiancé? I remember that it was fucking stupid, and the main reason we take the private jet, go on," Alex said. "That's her," I said, glancing over and seeing her saddened expression as the other place setting and glasses were picked up by the waiter. "Somebody stood her up?" I reached for my plate. Alex grabbed my arm before I stood. "Hey," he said as I rose anyway. "Stop it with the charity cases." "Yeah," Colin said from across the table. "Lillian, does that fucking charity case psycho bitch ring a bell?" I smiled. "She's not like that." I glanced over at her as she studied her menu. "Nothing like that. I highly doubt she's some crazy gold-digging freak." "The courts will decide that, Jimbo," Colin smirked, using the one name I despised. "Calm down," I said. "I'm not going to let her eat alone in a place like this. I'm taking my food over there. I've had dinner with you two for the last 3 nights, so I think you'll live." Both men looked at each other, and I knew exactly what they were thinking,
but they didn't have the whole story. I'd sat with the woman and heard all about the shitty hand of life she'd been dealt. She was solid. If anything, she was a breath of fresh air. It was nice to talk about something other than women and work, or what got us labeled this ridiculous billionaire's club name, only entertaining wealthy women to protect our asses and assets. These two jokers I was currently leaving behind were the two who got that rumor going, though it was my ex Lillian who kicked the can of gasoline on that raging fire of bullshit. Avery seemed like she'd been stood up, either by her sister or some complete idiot who would be dumb enough to turn down the most beautiful woman I'd ever had the pleasure of seeing. Seriously. Her black hair set off her striking blue eyes, and I swear the woman looked like one of the pixies that my sister-in-law had painted for her art gallery. I couldn't take my eyes off her on the plane, and I couldn't take them off her now. Chapter 2. Jim. Avery's eyes scanned the area, and she covered her mouth when I approached her table. I opted not to take my plate of food with me, as if to appear like a high school kid in the cafeteria wanting to sit by a hot chick who was eating alone. I reached for the back of the chair and returned her confused smile. "Avery?" I questioned, not fully knowing what the hell I was doing. I could feel the stares from Colin and Alex burning a hole into my back as they watched me do the most uncharacteristic thing I'd ever done. This was unlike me in every way. Maybe Jules did fuck with my mind, and now I felt I needed the presence of a beautiful woman to blot out the disgusting reminder of a married woman humping my hard cock. Disgusting. Yeah, that was definitely it. That's why I was randomly leaving my dinner and joining a woman I'd met on a plane 3 days ago. Fuck it. Shit. She covered her smile and glanced around the room. Her cheeks tinted pink as she tried to control her laugh. Sorry. I don't think this restaurant allows cursing. She looked around again, and I could tell she was entirely out of her element. It depends on whom you are offending, I said, taking the chair and sitting across from her. Mind if I join you? Her perfectly shaped eyebrow arched over her long black lashes, and her blue eyes glistened like sapphires. Well, her scratchy voice was sexy as she laughed at this bizarre scenario. Okay. I remember you from the airplane. You saved me from my ex-fiancé. I also remember getting a little too drunk and cried my sad life story to you the entire flight here. I'm happy you remember me. I smiled and motioned for the waiter. Have you decided on your meal yet? Sir, she responded, sitting back in her seat. I'm embarrassed to admit that I can't remember your name when you remembered mine. She had the cute yet sexy face of a younger version of Meg Ryan, my childhood Hollywood crush. This woman was a dark-haired version of her, especially when she pursed her lips and scrunched her face up in confusion like this. I'm Jim, I reintroduced myself. Please don't be embarrassed. I'm pretty good with remembering names, I said with a laugh, pulling the menu she'd given up on over to me. Honestly, I'm only naturally good with names of people who've made an impression on me, be it good or bad. She crossed her arms over the strapless top of the dress she wore. And you remember mine because of which? Did I make a good or bad impression? How could a woman as lovely as you possibly make a bad impression on anyone? I smirked, only because this woman was amusing me with her rigid body language and charming facial expressions. May I ask why you are here alone? My sister's meeting got held over, she smiled. She's a busy girl, so I can't blame her, and I won't. I'm here on her paycheck, not mine. I wasn't going there with money or jobs. That was too personal, although I was curious. I hadn't forgotten the daughter she'd mentioned on the plane, or her asshole ex who was going to fight her to the death for custody. Obviously, I had only one side of this story, so it was better to remain silent about it. The guy did sound like a fucking dickhead on the phone, though, and I was pretty good about reading people. A shame, I smiled and glanced down at the menu. What are you up for tonight? She pinched her lips together and squinted her eyes in humor. I'm so hungry I could eat the entire menu if you want to know the truth. I'd like to see that, I grinned. I'm dead serious, she said, catching my attention with her lowered tone. I licked my lips and caught my bottom lip with my teeth. You're serious? I leveled her with a gaze, trying to maintain my composure and not laugh. Dead serious. She leaned her crossed arms up on the table and smirked.
I can't afford more than an app.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?